you so much for finally going back to your seat. But I kind of like the meet and greet. We used to do like a 10-minute meet and greet at our church when we first started in the rec center. We've kind of whittled it down just a little bit, but it's really nice. We don't ever want you just to come to church and just see a talking head and see people up here. We want you to interact with people. So I'm really glad that you take advantage of that opportunity. Thanks for being here today. And the weather, are you kidding me? Right? Last 5 days, I mean, what? It's ridiculous. I get up early in the morning, and I'm doing hot tub prayer in the morning too now, night and morning. And I go out there, and it's cold. I'm like, what is going on here? I really am a wimp, okay, to feel like that's cold. But I heard, rumor has it, we're going back to triple digits by the end of the week. So I'm ready for it. Bring it on. Well, I'm so glad you're here this morning. And Tanya had emailed me. And this is normally the day we do communion. We're going to do communion next week. And she said, Joe, I really feel like the Lord's put something on my heart. And I really want to do worship in a little bit of a different way. And that's what she did. And I think it was really awesome. And we just want to, we're not trying to create anything, but we want to give you permission to express yourselves in worship so that the Lord, because when we're worshiping, it's the Lord that we're trying to get his attention. And I think sometimes that you know, sometimes I sit down for one of the songs every Sunday. I prepare my heart to speak, but there's lots of ways that we get the Lord's attention. And for you, it might be just sitting quietly. For others, it's standing up. For others, it's, you know, just all different things. We want you to have the freedom to do that. And we're really moving towards that. So, all right, we're going to begin a new series this morning. I'm really excited. We've titled it Life Lessons from the Old Testament, okay? And we're going to learn some things about people that have gone before us. So this morning, the first one we're going to look at is Caleb, the man of courage. And just to introduce this a little bit, I have found that I understand more about life the older I get. And as much as for a while there I didn't like getting older, you hit that point, you know. I guess they call it what, midlife crisis, okay? I was like, man, I'm getting older and I really don't like it. I don't know what the alternative is. Actually, I do know the alternative to getting older. And I was like, well, I'm not ready for that yet. But I didn't like it, but I've actually gotten real comfortable in my older skin. Lately, I've gotten much more comfortable because I know that I understand more about life the older I get. When we're young, we're limited in our understanding. It's just the way it is. You don't believe me. I know that. But trust me, you will realize that that's true. But as we age, we gain experience and we can truly become wise. We can. But some things just take time to learn. It just takes time to learn them. But there is one way I know of accelerating the process of gaining wisdom. And that's by learning from the lives of others who've gone before us. We can accelerate that. We don't have to learn everything the hard way. And you see, what I'd love to do in this series, it'll be 6 weeks. We'll look at six different characters. Well, some weeks we'll look at two people. But we'll look at characters for the next 6 weeks. And I would love for us, no matter what age we are, to learn life lessons from those who've gone before us. And I want to contend that this is a way to learn the easy way as opposed to the hard way. How many of you have learned some lessons the hard way? Raise your hand if you have. It's like, it's a good way to learn, but there are other ways. There are other ways. In the next 6 weeks, we're going to do this study called Life Lessons from the Old Testament. And you can see we have like a little whiteboard. We have such a creative staff, you know. They came up with this great idea, and I was like, yeah, I just like sign off on it, that I love it. But these are lessons that we're going to learn. We're going to look at a number of people from the Old Testament that have been recorded for us, some good and some bad. And my hope and desire is that as we study these people, we learn lessons from their failures as well as from their successes, so we don't have to learn quite as much the hard way, okay? So this morning, like I said, we're going to look at Caleb, a man of courage. I want to give you some background information. I'm really excited about this. Yesterday, I got to speak at Sukkoth Shalom. They asked me to teach. How'd you like to teach from the Old Testament to a Messianic congregation? A little intimidating, you know? They're all Jewish, and they're singing the songs in Hebrew, and here you got a Gentile Italian from Brooklyn getting up there to teach them the Old Testament. It was really fun and really exciting, and it went well, but I have been looking even more forward to sharing this with you. So let me give you some background, then we're going to get into the life of Caleb. Okay, so we want to go back to Joseph. Joseph had become a high leading political leader in Egypt, and he brought his father and his 11 brothers to Egypt to be cared for during a worldwide drought. Now, this is after the time of Abraham, but before the time of Moses. Okay, and he brought them to Egypt where the family flourished while their brother was alive. But after Joseph died, the children of Israel were made to be slaves in Egypt. They were at this time being treated brutally, by the Egyptians. And God sent Moses to Pharaoh to set his people free. Okay, you kind of maybe know the story a little bit. And Moses went to Pharaoh, and 10 times he requested for Pharaoh to let the children of Israel, let them set them free. And 10 times Pharaoh said no. And 10 times God sent a plague. Each time the request was denied. And Moses finally led his people through the Red Sea and toward the Promised Land. Okay. Now, the Promised Land, what do you mean the Promised Land? The land that God promised to give to Abraham. Now, I'll remind you of that in just a few minutes. So Moses and his people were now ready to enter the Promised Land that God had promised to Abraham. The Lord directed Moses to send 12 men, chiefs and leaders from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, to spy out the land. That is, to develop a strategy for conquering the Promised Land that God had for them to take. One of those 12 chiefs and leaders was Caleb. Caleb was from the tribe of Issachar. Issachar, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Joseph was also one of those brothers. So that gives you a little bit of a background. And let's now look at the life of 40-year-old Caleb in Numbers 13 and 14. Okay, let's pick up in Numbers 13, verse 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up into the Negeb and go up into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not." Moses says, "Be of good courage and bring some fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. Okay. So Moses, now they're about to enter the Promised Land, the promise made to Abraham. By the way, Abraham is the forefather. He's already long dead. He's gone. And he was promised three things. He was promised a son. He received that promise. And the son's name was Isaac. Isaac, not Ishmael. No. Yeah, the son of the promise was Isaac. And then he had received a nation. And the nation was Israel. But he was also promised a land, and they were about to Abraham, the promise God made to Abraham was about to be fulfilled. The third of the three things he was promised. So Moses sends in 12 chiefs and leaders into the land to see the beauty of the land God was giving to them and to assess the enemies that they would have to overcome. Now, I just want to remind you of the promise that God made to Abraham, that he would have a son, a nation, and a land. When Abraham had received the son, and he didn't actually see the nation. The nation came, Jacob, his grandson, saw the nation. But here it was, the final fulfillment, the land. And that's why it's called the Promised Land, the land that was promised. That's what Israel is. Okay? That's why they fight over this land so much, because it was promised to Abraham. Okay? And though Abraham was long gone, God was sure to fulfill his promise. But it would be somewhat dependent on Abraham's descendants doing their part. So I'm going to make observations in this series. Okay, guys, we're going to be doing observations. Tyler, you're speaking in a few weeks. We're going to do observations. That's one of the things. You guys tell me how much you like them. Observation number one. Though God's promises are always fulfilled, sometimes it takes longer than we think to see their fulfillment. And sometimes we won't live long enough to see the promises fulfilled. So we need to be diligent in passing on our faith and our heritage to the generations behind us. We need to do that. See, God has given a promise to me for this church, Crossroads. And a while ago, I realized, you know, I may not live to see that promise fully come into fruition. So we hired Tyler. Thank you for coming. And we hired, now we already had Gino, and that's wonderful. And then we hired Travis, and then we hired Brock. Why? Because they're younger, and they're the next generation. And my job is to make sure that if I'm like Abraham, oh, I'd love to be like Abraham, right? If I'm like Abraham and don't get to see the promise fully come to fruition, that they will carry it on. See? And you have the same thing for your lives and for your families and for the thing that God calls you to. But let's get back to the scripture and get an idea of what the lamb was like. Verse 25. So the spies go in and they spend 40 days spying around the land. Verse 25. At the end of 40 days, they return from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." You know the term that we use, a land of milk and honey? This is where it comes from. It was a great land. Are you surprised that the land God promised to Abraham was a great land? Of course it was a great land. They said it flows with milk and honey, and they brought back a cluster of grapes, and the grapes were like plums. They were big old grapes, seedless, sweet, not bitter. Okay? They were some really good grapes. Okay? It was a wonderful land, flowing with milk and honey, and it tells us pomegranates and figs and grapes. The land was awesome. Verse 28. Just the first part of verse 28. However, oh my gosh, why does that word have to be there? However, something was perhaps about to interfere with the children of Israel following the Lord's commands and fulfilling what God had promised to Abraham, doing their part to see God's promise to Abraham fulfilled. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Termites. No, sorry, I added that, sorry. They dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. However, the people are strong. They're really tough. Observation. When we focus on the obstacles, we will become fearful and perhaps not pursue the things God has given to us. Do you remember about, I don't even know why I'm saying this, is not planned, but I might as well just humble myself before you. Do you remember about 8 months ago, I told you, it was about a year ago, that I didn't see the promise being fulfilled. And I pulled an Abraham. You know, Abraham, and he did something to fulfill the promise on his own. And he messed with Hagar and Ishmael as a result. And now we have this conflict between Ishmael, the father of the Arabs, and the children of Israel. And you remember I told you that I was about to quit. I was about to resign from this position because I was so discouraged that the vision God had given me was not being fulfilled. And I told you that there were two people that were the reason I didn't make the biggest mistake of my life, because that's what it would have been. It was my son, but primarily my wife. And she said, "Don't do it." She said, "Honey, our best days are before us." I was so defeated and discouraged because I was focused on the obstacles. I was focused on everything that didn't happen the way I thought it would. And I became fearful, and I was ready to stop pursuing the things that God had given me to do. But thank the Lord, I listened to my wife. I listened to her. But when you and I focus on the obstacles, we become fearful. And we could perhaps make the biggest mistake of our life, give up on what God's called us to. Verse 30, let's get back to the scripture. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, the land, for we are able to overcome it." Caleb steps in and tries to calm the people down and remind them that they can overcome the obstacle, that these are big, bad, tough people. Verse 31. Then the men who had gone up with him, the other 10, because Joshua, we don't see him mentioned here, but we know that Joshua and Caleb were the two of the 12 spies that said, "No, we can do it." But the other 10 were like, "No way." Now watch how this kind of digresses. Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." These people are big and strong. They're bigger than, now I know what that feels like, okay? I should show you a picture from me when I was running out on the field as a high school football player. I'm running out with the team, and I'm here, and everyone else is like up there. It's really hilarious. But the people were like, "We seem like grasshoppers in their sight." Observation. Observation. When fear is given its place, it can get a grip on us, even those of us who are leaders. Hey, I just told you that as the leader of this church, fear got a grip on me. And thank the Lord for my wife that I didn't make the biggest mistake of my life. Because I am having so much fun pastoring Crossroads, and I would like to be able to, in some fashion, stay here for the rest of my days. I will see if the Lord has it, but that's my desire. But these other 10 spies, they were leaders. They were leaders of their clans. And yet they had given in to fear. When we give fear a place, it can grip us, even leaders. Chapter 14. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept at night. And all the people of Israel grumbled, complained against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt." Now they want to go back to Egypt where they were being treated so harshly and terribly. They were slaves. And now they're saying, "Would it not that we go back to the land of Egypt? Or would that we had died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord," stop blaming God, "bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader." They wanted a new leader. "And go back to Egypt." You say, wow, those people are really messed up. How many times have you and I shrunk from the very thing that God's calling us to because we got gripped with fear? Now, I'm not commending the behavior, but I'm not gonna be the one to judge them, because you and I have had times in our lives where we've done the same thing. When leaders give in to fear, it spreads to the followers. Guys, I want to tell you, I didn't really plan to talk so much about Crossroads, but in my downtime of discouragement, I know that you knew that. And when you would see me, you were worried about me, and rightfully so. I know I'd walk in and I was discouraged, and so discouraged, defeated, beaten, felt like a complete failure. I know you've probably never felt that way, but if you have, you're not alone. Your pastor has felt the same way. And I know that, and I know that you now see me differently, because you say, wow, Joe's back. This is really, you know, Tyler had never met the real Joe. Travis, he's gone. He left. Travis is teaching the kids now. They never saw the real Joe because I was so discouraged and down. And it was contagious. And because that's how it works. And some of my fear and my discouragement was being passed off to you. And I really, until God fought my battles, Tanya, and God stepped in. And but that's what was happening here. Why do we learn from the Old Testament? Because we're just like them. Verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. Moses and Aaron, broken at the response of the 10 spies and now how they had infected the people. Verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. That was a way of showing brokenness and mourning and said to all the congregation of the people, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Thank the Lord for Caleb and Joshua. "Do not fear them." Then all the congregation said to stone them. Joshua and Caleb, with stones. But the glory, God stepped in. The glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. Amazing. Amazing thing. God then told Moses, the glory of the Lord appeared, and God said to Moses, "I am going to destroy the nation of Israel. I'm wiping them out. I made this promise to Abraham. I have, you know, met every need of theirs all the way through. And here they are, not even going in to take the promised land that I'm going to give to them. I'm going to destroy them. Moses, I'm going to give you a new nation, another son and a new nation who will come from that." Moses says, "Bring it on, Lord. I'm sick of these people." No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Because Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. To be meek is to have strength under control. He was a humble man, a great leader, but a humble man. Moses pled to the Lord on behalf of this disobedient people that wanted to stone him and his brother Aaron. Moses reminded God. He said, "God, if you wipe them out, remember the 10 plagues in Egypt? You parted the Red Sea and the sea came upon the Egyptians and people know how great you are. But if you destroy them, people, you'll look bad to all the other nations." And Moses pleads that God forgive the people of this sin. Observation. Poor leadership can make the people one is leading vulnerable to fear, disobedience, and even judgment. Do you know what I have to admit was true? In my time of discouragement and feeling failure and my desire to quit, I was poorly leading this church and making you vulnerable to the fear and the disobedience and even the judgment that perhaps I would have faced had I turned from God's calling in my life. Interesting, huh? You want to be in ministry? You like that kind of weight on your shoulders? But thank the Lord for Tony, my wife. I thank the Lord for her, and I thank the Lord that he fought my battles, Tanya. And he stepped in and rescued me. Because of Moses' plea, God agrees to not wipe out the children of Israel. But God also decrees that none of the children of Israel that refuse to take the land, the 10 spies and all the people that rebelled, that none of them would enter the promised land, the land God had promised to Abraham. None of them. They would all die off before they entered the land, and that would be 40 years. They would wander in the wilderness now for 40 years because of their unwillingness to go and take what God had given to them. And none would enter. Well, not exactly none. Look at verse 24. It says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land in which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." God said, you know what? None of you are entering the land. But now Joshua, of course, would lead the children into the land. But Caleb, he had a different spirit. Why? Because he believed God. He was a man of courage, and he was willing to follow God fully, and he would enter the land to possess it. Now, I want to give you another observation. God rewards those who believe him and follow him fully, even in the midst of a disobedient and unbelieving people. As you and I, as our hearts break for what's happening in our country, as we unwind morally, we're watching a country just unwinding morally, giving in to everything that God calls wrong. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, because we may be under judgment. I really have trouble saying the words "God bless America," because how can I ask God to bless us as a nation when we're pursuing and running after sin and things that are abominations to God? But don't worry, that doesn't mean he won't bless us. Because he blessed Caleb. And Caleb might not have entered when he was supposed to, but he was going to. He had a different spirit, and he was going to possess that land again. Verse 36. Lest you think that God dealt gently back in that day with people who disobeyed him. "And the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land," now this is the 10 of the 12, "who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing up a bad report about the land, the men who brought up a bad report of the land died by plague before the Lord. Of those men who went to spy out the land, only Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive." Now, I'm not done. There's one more little thing I want to cover, and then we'll wrap the whole thing up. I want to fast forward now 45 years. Moses has died, and Caleb is now, well, how old would Caleb be? He was 40, 45, 85. He's 85 years old. And the wandering in the wilderness is over, and Israel, under the leadership of Joshua, is in the process of possessing the promised land. Now, let's check in on Caleb. And we'll go to the book of Joshua, and we'll check in on him. But I did a Google search, and I found out there are some things that track some of Caleb's doings. Caleb had applied for retirement, and he was granted retirement. And he bought a home in a retirement community in a place with a milder climate, but there in the Middle East, a little bit of a milder climate. And he took up golf seriously toward the end of his life. He's 85, and he owned a lake house where he spends weekends, as well as a timeshare on the French Riviera, okay? So I checked this out, and this is what Caleb was doing. Well, actually, I'm kidding, and you know I'm kidding. I want to look at Caleb as an older man and see if he is still living the life of a man of courage. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. It begins and it says, 14, 6, right there. "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal." Now they're entering the land now. The 40 years has passed, and they're going in and occupying the land, one area by one area. And the people of Judah came, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, Caleb comes to Joshua. He says, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me." He refers back to when they came back to give the report 45 years before. Verse 7, Caleb says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore, he's reminding Joshua this. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now we're about to enter the land that Caleb wanted. He had remembered. Remember, he spied it out, and there was a particular land that he wanted for himself and his descendants. He says, and now, Joshua, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. Observation. Clinging to the promises of God will sustain us and keep us going in the tough times, even if we seem to be waiting forever for God's promises to be fulfilled. When you cling to the promise, he remembered what Moses said to him, that he would not die until they entered the land, and he would go into the land and inherit the land that he had spied out. And he waited. 40 years he won. Can you imagine? I don't think he was ragging on. He could have been, you guys mess me up. I'm walking around here. I could be in the land flowing with milk and honey, but I'm walking around the desert. I don't think Caleb was that kind of guy. I think Caleb made the best of the situation, but he kept remembering, I know I'm going to see the promised land. Verse 11, a little more insight into Caleb as an 85-year-old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. Caleb says, listen, man. He said, Joshua, don't hold back. Don't go easy on me. I'm as strong as I've ever been. Now, I don't know if he was, but he sure felt like he was. Your attitude determines your altitude. Verse 12. So now, give me this hill country. So he wanted the hill country. Now you're going to see a little bit about this hill country that he wanted. Give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that the Anakim, these are the giants. The Anakim were the biggest people of the land, the giants. For these, now give me this land. For you heard that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. He said, man, give me the hardest challenge. Don't worry about how old I am. They would say, come on, Caleb, you're 85. He said, whoa, don't even do that. Give me the hardest challenge. I'm going in there, and I'm going to kick their butts, because the Lord is with me. Verse 13, last two verses. Then Moses blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Caleb had held to the promise God had made all those years. He held to it. Wandering in the desert with the children of Israel for 40 years because of their disobedience, not his. But when the time came, Caleb did not let his age stop him from receiving the promise that God made to him. My last observation of the morning is this. A person of courage continues to walk in that courage until the day they die. They never stop believing in the promises of God. How about we learn from the life of Caleb and we be men and women of courage until the day we die? How about that? For me, what does that mean? That means that as long as the Lord needs me here, I'm going to be going after it with everything that's in me. I said something to Travis the other day. We were in here setting up chairs, and I had a really busy weekend. It's been a blast. It's been so much fun. I've had a couple come in from Iowa, and we've been doing the whole 10, 11 weeks of marriage coaching. We've been doing it in the weekend. So, and then I spoke at the church yesterday, and I've been so busy, and I told Travis my schedule, and he was just like, whoa. And then I said, well, I got to keep working like this while I'm young. And I walked away, and I took him back, and he was like, well, I'm young? Joe, you're not that young, but I just, it's an attitude. We have to keep doing everything we can do while we can. And just keep doing it. Just keep pushing hard. You know, I was like, man, this is going to be a tough weekend. I got a little extra sleep. I prayed a little bit. You know what? I'm really excited. Do I seem tired? Do I seem worn out? See, the Lord gives us what we need to do what we need to do. That's what he did for Caleb. Now, here's the deal. You're getting older, perhaps. Listen, everyone in the room is getting older. You're older now than you were when I got up here to preach, okay? You're 43 minutes older than when I got up here, okay? We're all getting older, but that doesn't mean we lay back. It doesn't mean we lay up. We continue to pursue God. Listen, you can retire. You can get a lake house. You can play golf. I'm not questioning that. But don't stop running after the things God's given you to do. Don't give up the dreams for your family. Don't give up the dreams for your heritage. You want to live a godly life and get everything. Go after everything God's given you. We may not get to see everything that he's promised to us. Abraham didn't. But we keep going after it, and we hand it off to those who will see it. Let's be a man of courage or a woman of courage like Caleb. Amen? Lord, we come before you and we ask you in Jesus' name to help us not to lay up, to keep, Lord, I want to keep going while I'm young. I'm young now so I can keep, you know, burning the candle at both ends. Lord, I want to be wise with my schedule, but I don't ever want to miss out on something you have for me to do. Would you put that spirit in each of us, for our families, for our marriages, for our businesses, for the ministries that you call us to? Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.